The Developing Southern Brass Mountain by Nigel Bernard, Testimony, July 2001. Ezekiel 38 states that Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? To carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? These words describe the reaction of nations south of Israel to the invasion by the Gogian force. And as this article will show, Bible prophecy reveals that these nations will not be disparate countries, but will constitute a consolidated southern power of mountainous proportions. Furthermore, it will be shown that recent developments in this area point to this consolidation developing. In Daniel 11, we read of the emergence and death of Alexander the Great. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will, and when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. And after the death of Alexander the Great, the Greek empire was carved up by his generals. It was essentially divided into four, the four winds. And two of these divisions are picked out for special attention. In Daniel 11, these are the power to the north of Israel, the king of the north, and the power to the south of Israel, the king of the south. The king of the north refers to the Seleucid kingdom founded by Seleucus. Antioch in northern Syria on the river Orontes was the nominal capital of this kingdom, and in Acts 13 mention is made of the town Seleucia, whose name derives from the Seleucids. The king of the south refers to the Ptolemaic kingdom founded by Ptolemy. This kingdom was based in Egypt. In Acts 21, mention is made of the town Ptolemais, and this name derives from Ptolemy II. In Daniel 11, the future development of the Seleucid and Ptolemaic kingdoms and the relationship between them are prophesied in great detail. Although based in northern Syria and Egypt, these two powers were Greek in origin. The emphasis on just two parts of the Greek Empire in Daniel 11 links with the Greek part of the image in Daniel 2. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass. The two brass thighs correspond to the king of the north and the king of the south. At the time of the end, there will be two powers, one to the north and one to the south of Israel, which will mirror the historical Seleucid and Ptolemaic kingdoms. The king of the north, the Gogian power of Ezekiel 38, will enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over, and he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. Previously, the king of the south has made a push at him. The hymn may refer to the Gogian force, or perhaps to an earlier power in control of Constantinople. Once the king of the north invades south, the king of the south, although he still exists, is no longer mentioned. The comparison with Daniel 2 shows that the metallic character of these powers at the time of the end will be brass. The brass aspect of Daniel 2 and the north south aspect of Daniel 11 are brought together in Zechariah 6. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains. The mountains were mountains of brass, and the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. And then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, "What are these, my lord?" And the angel answered and said unto me, "These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." The chariots and horses represent the saints, immortalized by the Spirit, together with the Jewish people, as the Lord Jesus sets out to expand his kingdom beyond the borders of Israel. And the different colors of the horses represent different aspects of the judgments which will be meted out on the nations. And the two brass mountains represent two powers between which lies the land of Israel. Are these to the north and south of Israel? It is significant that it is the north and south that are specifically mentioned as being the directions which the chariots take. The black horses which are therein go forth into the north country, and the white go forth after them, and the grizzled go forth toward the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. The two brass mountains are the north and south countries. They are the kings of the north and south of Daniel 11. So, despite the ascendancy of the king of the north as he moves down into Egypt, the king of the south will not be an insignificant power. It will be sufficiently powerful and agglomerated to merit being likened to a mountain. It is helpful to summarize the foregoing by quoting what Brother John Carter wrote concerning these prophecies. Out of the conflicts among the successors of Alexander, two powers arose which had a close geographical relationship to Palestine, and therefore a close contact with the affairs of God's people. These two are described in terms of geographical relationship as the king of the north and the king of the south. Regarding the phrase "the time of the end" as a reference to the last days of Gentile times, we see that Zechariah's two brazen mountains are the kings of north and south of Daniel 11 in their last phases of conflict for possession of the Lord's land. And the saints come upon the scene in the land that God long ago covenanted to them in the promises to Abraham to execute the judgments of God. That was from Prophets After the Exile by John Carter. When the king of the north of Daniel 11 invades, he moves into Egypt, and the king of the south moves into the background. However, we know from Zechariah 6 that indeed there will still be a mountainous power to the south when Christ has entered Israel. And Ezekiel 38, quoted at the beginning of the article, shows that Tarshish will be associated with the powers to the south of Israel. Like the Ptolemies of old, the Tarshish power of Britain had a power base in Egypt. It occupied Egypt in 1882, and its influence there continued until 1952, when a coup d'etat by army officers deposed King Farouk. Gamal Nasser was eventually to emerge from these events as a potent leader in Egypt. It is not the purpose of this article to consider the role of Britain as the King of the South, but suffice it to say that Britain has already played a significant part in this area and will do so again in the future. The other countries named in Ezekiel 38 as being associated with Tarshish are Sheba and Dedan. These refer to territories in the Arabian Peninsula occupied today by countries such as Saudi Arabia and Yemen. But can the southern Arabian countries really be regarded as coming under the ambit of a power referred to as the King of the South? Furthermore, how can these and other Arab countries to the south of Israel be constituted a mountainous power? In answer to the first question, it is helpful to note the way in which the Lord Jesus referred to the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That's Matthew 12. So the title of Queen or King of the South, it can be applied to a ruler in Sheba. Therefore, even when the king of the north has invaded Egypt, it will still be possible to have a king of the south power, even if its power base has to migrate to the uttermost parts of the earth, beyond the bounds of the original Ptolemaic kingdom. As far as becoming a mountain is concerned, we would expect the separate powers in the area to begin to come together in some way. And there is recent evidence to show that this is happening, both economically and militarily. Six of the Arabian states, comprising Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, and Bahrain, are members of the Gulf Cooperation Council, the GCC, which was formed in 1981. In response to the Iran-Iraq war. In the April 2001 issue of the Middle East, it is reported that at the recent annual summit of the GCC, the member countries resolved to begin planning for the development of a single currency, and the perceived benefits of a single currency include, amongst other things, increased trade between Gulf member states, encouraged by the removal of exchange rate fluctuations, simplified financial procedures, and improved fiscal discipline amongst member states, leading towards lower inflation and lower interest rates. And the proposed currency is seen as a means of unifying the GCC countries into a coherent trading bloc. But just as with European monetary union, the potential benefits are not simply economic and financial. The article states, the EMU, that is the Economic Monetary Union, in the long term could be a step towards federalism, leading to closer political union with common defence and foreign policies. So, the Arab countries to the south of Israel are taking steps which could lead toward a federal union, providing possible evidence of a mountainous power to the south of Israel developing. And the quotation states that a common defense policy might accrue from a move towards federalism. And the next issue of the Middle East showed that there are signs that this is already developing. The May 2001 issue of the Middle East reports on a Gulf Security Conference which took place during the International Defense Exhibition in Abu Dhabi. Concerns were raised at this conference at the over-reliance the Gulf states placed on Western countries, particularly the United States, for their defense. And the states recognized the need to develop a cohesive defense structure among the six members of the alliance. And officials at the conference all urged greater efforts to forge a fully integrated GCC defense structure that would present a credible deterrent to any potential aggressor. Unease at relying on the US has been driven by doubts over the commitment of the US to maintain significant forces in the area, and also by the opposition to US forces in the area by Islamic fundamentalists. Another interesting factor mentioned in the article, which is focusing the minds of the GCC members, is the cooperation between Russia and Iran. And the report states, the moves by Iran to acquire a new conventional arsenal from Russia, in particular the S-300 air defense system, that would negate to a considerable degree the GCC states' multi-billion dollar investment in air power, is also causing concern, even at a time when rapprochement with Tehran is developing. 2 points are relevant here. Firstly, as Persia or Iran is one of the forces who are allied to GOG, we would anticipate Russia and Iran being on friendly terms. Secondly, it is noteworthy that the cooperation between Russia and Iran is causing concern to the southern Arabian states, a concern which will of course be seen to be fully justified when the King of the North moves south. The reports of moves towards a single currency and also a common defense policy does not imply that they will happen overnight or indeed at all. However, they are clear signs that countries to the south of Israel are beginning to come together. And in addition to the foregoing, it is also interesting to note that Yemen is considering joining the GCC. Regardless of the current intentions of the various countries, we know that there will be a southern brass mountain, as well as a power to the north of Israel, when Christ and the saints set out to conquer the nations. But this will only happen after the saints have been judged and have entered in Israel, a process that could take years. We should therefore not despise these signs on the grounds that they are small and possibly premature. Rather, as we see these southern trees beginning to shoot forth in accordance with our Lord's Mount Olivet prophecy, we should lift up our heads, knowing that when we see these things come to pass, the kingdom of God is nigh at hand.